Welcome to the Soulish Podcast. My name is Whitney Apke and I am your host. On the Soulish Podcast, we talk about the soul journey and the body, soul, spirit connection. And I have the privilege and honor of sharing my perspectives, my experiences in my own soul journey that are beneficial to you, supportive to you in your journey, as well as I bring on guests who are practitioners, body workers, energy healers, intuitives, psychics, astrologers, past life regressionists, even business and career coaches and mentors. We really have it all on this podcast, and it's really amazing to have such amazing caliber of guests and variety and diversity of guests. And today I have an amazing guest, Heather Allison, and she is a sacred feminine and soul shamanic guide for women. She is amazing at holding space for femininity and helping and facilitating us women stepping more into our divine feminine, our goddess energy. And this conversation is so amazing because we dive into several different elements of like what it's like to experience healing, you know, healing your feminine, healing your inner child as a little girl, you know, going into that and having dreams and opening yourself up to healing and what that looks like. And what weaves through this entire conversation with her is the power of presence and how, you know, a lot of times things come up and like, I'm that person. I need to know, why in the heck is this coming up again? Did I not heal it? Does it need to be healed or something? Am I being limited in some way by having this memory come up, you know, and feeling the feels of it and all of that, right? You can kind of feel like I'm stunted here, you know, like I must not have fully moved on. And what Heather brings in, the thought or the perspective that she shares, which is so beautiful, and I personally resonated with it so much. It was an aha moment for me where she said, when things come up, they don't have to mean something. You don't have to know why it's coming up. It just is. Just be present with it. Like, because part of the feminine energy is the chaos of everything, right? We can feel all the feels, right? In the feminine energy, it's feeling the pain as well as the joy. It's feeling the burdens as well as the peace. You know, it's feeling all of it and holding space for all of it, including the mystery. So part of what we go into that I just loved was like living in that mystery, holding space for the mystery, the unknown. And she said something so powerful that I was like, oh my God, can you say that again? And it was that nothing new can come from the known, you know, like basically only new things happen when we don't know. And that's because it's a discovery, right? If we are just like robotic and we're just like, okay, if I do this thing, then this happens. And that's how we live our lives. It's not necessarily bad, but it doesn't allow for there to be an unknown, a mystery to unfold and a great adventure. And I look back on my life and I can see the ups and downs, and I can see where, like, when I was moving or leaving my relationship or leaving my religion, and I'm like, I don't have a reason why I'm doing this. I just feel like I'm called to something different. I'm being asked to step out of this place of knowing into the unknown. And I was taught that that's dangerous, that that's unsafe. And so I was unable to honor that for so long. And it was kind of in my Saturn return period that I was kind of like, you know, no, fuck this. I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to go discover this. I'm going to challenge myself out of the comfortable into the uncomfortable, into the unknown. And I'm going to trust and believe that I'm guided and that I'm protected as I rediscover or discover something new about myself, about life, about this experience, my purpose, my destiny. And also one of the things that I mentioned in this conversation was that, you know, we're so programmed that we have to know. We have to know what we're going to do, what our purpose is, what our destiny is, you know, who's going to be our partner for life or partners. And we have to know everything of what that looks like, right? We have an idea in our head that we were either told or taught or saw and witnessed and felt like this is what I need to have in order to blah, 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 right? But actually, we are not limited to one destiny. We are not limited to one purpose. We can serve multiple purposes and we can have multiple destinies. We can have multiple, you know, different experiences and do multiple things. Like, we're multifaceted, right? And so we are not limited. And so even that thought of like, I have one purpose, one destiny, I need to discover it, I need to know it so that I can live it, so that I don't fail, right? So that I don't miss it. And that's a great, like, you know, a great heart, you know, to have, is that you don't want to miss anything. You want to be in everything. But really how we do that is not being in the past and not being in the future. It's being in the present. And that was one of the most powerful things that we talked about in this episode. It was so inspiring. Heather is so inspiring. The work she does is so inspiring. And I'm leaving this conversation just feeling so present and so connected, so embodied and so integrated. And that's what this is all about. So I hope that you enjoy this conversation that I have with Heather. It's amazing. It's inspiring. Just sit in it. Just allow her words of wisdom to soothe you, soothe your heart, warm you up, you know, inspire you to reconnect in a new way, or, you know, whatever, you know, just like be inspired by the conversation and allow it just to kind of wash over you. And any place that you have felt unsettled or nervous or afraid or, you know, uncertain, hopefully this episode, it's my hope and prayer that this episode soothes, you know, that fear of the unknown, and that the mystery of the unknown actually becomes exciting to you, and not fearful, not scary, right? But that it's actually like, I don't know. I'm really excited, you know, that I don't know, because now something new can happen, a new adventure, a new experience. I'm really excited. And that energy, just even that energetic shift from going like, I don't know, and I feel like I should, and I'm afraid of this and I'm afraid of that, you know, I don't know who my partner is going to be, and I'm afraid I'm going to be single for the rest of my life, right? Instead, it's like, I don't know who my partner is going to be, and I'm really excited. I'm really excited to go on this adventure, this discovery of like, who's going to be my next partner in life, you know, or the partner, whatever you align with, right? So what's going to happen? This is going to be really fun. This is really exciting. It just shifts your energy. It actually is way more expansive, right? Instead of diminishing. And that shift is amazing. So I hope that if anything happens with this episode within you, it's that it actually unlocks that sense of adventure and mystery within you, within your feminine, divine feminine essence as a woman. So love you as always. Heather, thank you so much for being on the Soulish podcast. It is such an honor to have you. I love your work. I love the work you do with women and really just bringing in that feminine essence into this podcast is just beautiful, and I'm all about it. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm totally loving the feel of this episode already.
We're vibing.
Yes, we are vibing. Like, from the second I got on here, I'm like, oh, I really like her energy.
Oh, I feel the same. And it's interesting, right? Because a lot of like what we do as women is we feel each other. And so it's like not even what someone looks like, it's what they feel like for us. Mm-hmm. And you have all the good feels as well. So I love the work that you do. You really do a lot of like empowerment work, finding your personal power, coming into like that goddess energy and like really cultivating that in like every area of our lives as women. And it's something that's needed. I think, you know, history has us kind of flip-flopping everywhere. Like we were, you know, bought, sold, traded, bartered with, you know, for thousands of years, and used as kind of vehicles to transport wealth and generations. And there's been a lot of like women, like I have this divine goddess oracle deck that I'm just always amazed every card I pull that it's like, oh, this woman existed in 630 BCE, you know, like, whoa, like she was like a powerhouse and a goddess. And she did things that were so against culture, society, and she just didn't even care. And she was like, you know, all about her essence, her sensuality, her sexuality, like she promoted it. You know, it's like, whoa, like here we are and we've had all this stuff happen. We've had a feminist movement, you know, and here we are in 2023, yeah. Like trying to make it happen, right? And so I love like the sacred container that your work provides for women to really connect in with their essence, their feminine divinity, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love that. So I think a conversation around even remembering where we are, who we are, what that feminine essence feels like. I think getting in tune and remembering like our core of who we are and coming back to that a lot of times throughout our life and connecting with that is so important. And so I didn't know if we could start the conversation around that. I wanted to ask you, what are some ways, because you've had quite the journey of you were married, it was very painful, very destructive to you. You kind of climbed out of that and made your way out, and then started rediscovering yourself. What were some like little nuggets from that rediscovering who you are that you mind sharing with us that would benefit people when they're either coming out of something that's really difficult, they're in transition, maybe stepping into something new? It doesn't necessarily have to be super heavy, but what are some nuggets of wisdom that you learned from that period of rediscovering and stepping into your power?
Yeah, that's such a good question. And it's so interesting, as I was listening to you, I was kind of going back and feeling into some of those places, because it was quite a while ago. I'm about to turn 47 and I was 31 when I finally left my ex-husband.
Wow.
So it's been a while, but it's so interesting to feel into how it really was quite a bit of how this journey started for me. Like I say this all the time, like I don't regret it. I don't regret that relationship, no matter, like, even though, like, there are still aspects of that toxicity and that damage and that wounding that I'm healing from, but I still can't regret it, because I know that it helped to set me on this path. I don't know that I'd be doing the same work that I'm doing now if it hadn't been for that relationship.
Yeah.
Never want to do it again, obviously, but like,
I'm not in alignment with that anymore.
Right. But I don't regret any of it. There were a few things. I'd say like probably the biggest one was at some point I realized that I no longer felt like my essence self. I no longer felt like I had there was a period of really like almost like very consciously actually mourning my childhood, where I like in my childhood self, where I no longer felt like her. And that was heartbreaking, actually just like making me emotional. Like that was heartbreaking. And I mean, you know, we kind of can't get away from having painful, traumatic things happen in our lives. It's just kind of part of what we signed up for here is experiencing pain. And so it's normal and natural. So I'm not kind of flagging this as like, this is a problem or wrong if you feel this way at all, but it's definitely a signpost of there's some stuff that really wants to be heard much more deeply than perhaps we're willing to right now, or perhaps we're ready to right now. There's a deeper voice that wants to be cultivated and heard and like embodied. So that's one thing. It's also interesting the other places where I feel like, at least in my recollection, I'm sure there were other ones before this, but I started having a lot more dreams in this phase of my life. Now I know were incredibly shamanic, incredibly like deep messages. I mean, so this is one of the things, all of the stuff that I'm sharing with you is stuff that I now teach, you know? So like we deep dive into our dream work, into our dream space, so that we can hear again, that kind of deeper voice, that more ancient voice, that more still quiet voice of our soul, like all the things so that we can be in dialogue with the parts of us that are more subtle, which is very much what the feminine governs, right? So I always talk about her having kind of three pillars, where it's our emotions, our sensations, and our intuition. So those are all very, very subtle voices with very dialects and and translations that you can't kind of nail down and go, this always means this. Do you know what I'm saying? It's so much deeper, so much richer.
So unique.
So it's really like walking with the mystery so that you're in the process of being in conversation with those things much more deeply. I also, when I went through phases of thinking that I would leave him and like, okay, maybe it's time. Maybe it's now. Cause I'd asked for what I needed and what I like deeply needed. And he was just unable or unwilling to meet me. And, one point, and like, so I walked through that several times and a lot of times, then of course he would kind of come back and it would feel better. And like, you know, he would start doing the things and then it would go away again. And, I remember at one point, at the very end, obviously, that I was in a phase of like kind of questioning that again, where, well, maybe it seems like he's getting it this time. Maybe this time it'll be different. And I literally remember I was sitting at my desk at work. It's so funny how our stuff just like infiltrates every part of our life. So I was like really deeply thinking about this. I had this massive aha moment and epiphany at work thinking about my marriage. But I was thinking about it. I was like, maybe I should just give him one more shot. Maybe I should just give this one more shot. You know, my parents have been together since they were 15. And I was like, you're supposed to work it out, right? You're supposed to kind of figure things out.
Yeah.
And I suddenly felt this, like, it felt like a harness around my chest, like around my heart all of a sudden, like that was seriously, like, I couldn't move forward. And so I was like, I don't know. I had not studied a single thing spiritual. Like I had not delved into body wisdom ever. I had not connected with my soul at that time. Like I had none of it. And yet I had this deep knowing that I was like, if that's not the most obvious, I thought maybe I should give it one more shot. Here's a harness going not that way. I'm like, if that's not the most obvious message and voice from my body, I don't know what is. And I was like, I just chose to listen. And so it's those things. It's like, it's attuning our ears and our senses to these really subtle voices that we have within that come through the feminine channel. Yeah. And by channel, I don't just mean like intuitive channel. I just mean like her whole entire system.
Yeah.
And it's then like letting ourselves honor them and listen and like believe her, you know, like believe those voices instead of like, that's probably just this. I'm sure that it'll be fine if I try it one more time. Or do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. 100,000 trillion billion percent. I think it's billion trillion, but yeah. I was actually, you're bringing something up that I was just reflecting on this because I was in a 5-year relationship about 2 years ago. Yeah, a little over 2 years ago. And I was at that same point, you know, not married, but really like, I want this and I love him. And it's not necessarily abusive or bad. It's just no longer in alignment. And I don't know how to communicate that because it's a spiritual energetic misalignment that I'm feeling. But also like, you know, lifestyle, things like that. Like there was, you know, things that I was like, that's not the kind of life I want to live. I want to be healthy. You know, I want to prioritize my health, honor my body, honor my emotional space, my mental space, right? I want to give that. And I also am a seeker and I want to be with somebody who at least is open to having a conversation about seeking things, you know, like I want someone that we can talk, you know, about that kind of stuff and be seeking together, have a partnership that's more in alignment with that. But I was going back to those things that I was just remembering, like some of the things that were happening that really throughout the whole relationship were so hurtful. And it's like little things like not coming to the holidays, like with my family. Like I would always be with his, always prioritized his family, was actually around his family more than I was even around my own. And he could not even reciprocate on a holiday or birthday. And it was like pulling teeth, and I hate nagging. I'm so an anti-nagger. So I would just like, I would invite knowing he's probably not going to come. And sure enough, he wouldn't come. And then I would be so hurt, but then I didn't feel like I was allowed to hurt, you know, and I didn't want to like punish him, but it was like trying to express like that really hurt that like, again, like it's been 3 years, dude. Like, do you want to be a part of my life? Do you want to be a part of my family? Like, cause that's what happens when you marry somebody, you know, and you say you want to marry me, but like, I feel like you totally are resisting this, maybe from your own pain, you know, you're not fully healed, but But it did something. It was like this rejection over and over again. But it's like, but you're supposed to trust this person and be intimate with this person. But there's ultimately this feeling of like, I don't think he actually wants me. And I don't think he actually wants this. And feeling like so hurt by that. And I just realized like, wow, I don't know if I've ever dived into that. Like those little hurts, those little wounds that were actually really devastating every single time. That I experienced, and it's like, how do we heal that? You know, like, I don't even know how to tap into those memories or tap into that feeling and actually shift it, not just like relive it. Do you have anything around that? Because I'm sure like other women, I mean, we're always healing conversations that we've had that were painful, right? Experiences, yeah. Relationships, all of that. How do you kind of lead that in tapping in and healing?
You know, and it's, I don't want this to sound discouraging, but it's like, we're always going to be finding pieces.
Yes.
And like these, like bits of treasure. And I mean that in both ways, like bits of treasure that are parts of ourselves that we like, you know, hid away or like cut off yes. for a while or, yep. you know, rejected for a while or what have you, but also bits of treasure that are parts of our like deep well of ancient wisdom, you know, and our remembrance and our connection to whatever form of higher or bigger than you identify with. Mm-hmm. And it's designed that way. Like I think we get so, and this is not answering your question, but I just kind of want good. To invite anybody who thinks like, why haven't I healed this thing yet? It's yes. not a linear thing. It's not a light switch thing. We're not going to get to a place where good, done and dusted, that's done. Won't ever probably look at that again. It's just that we meet it in a different way. So I like to kind of use this model of the spiral, where we really are kind of either opening up and expanding up the spiral infinitely, or we are kind of closing down and constricting and shutting down the spiral. What yes. we want is to be in the upward, right? In the more expanding, in the opening, but remembering that both of them are actually infinite. And so it's not that you're ever going to be done. It's just that you're going to be more readied and more powerful and more in your own wholeness and in your own wisdom in order to meet the things that you will meet again. And they won't feel quite the same. They won't have the same impact on you, or they won't have the same, you know, aftershocks. Right. Yeah. And so that's kind of the gist, is that it's not necessarily that we're like, cool, I healed that. I'm done with that. So I just wanted to speak to that too, just in case there's anybody out there who is like, maybe on this side of being tempted to beat themselves up for still meeting right. a pattern or still meeting a pain. That they've been healing from. You're okay. Like you're yeah. in process and it's beautiful, but that's actually part of it. That for me is actually part of how we start healing things like this, is we start looking at it with the eye on changing the story around it. Right. Where again, like even just noticing the pains that the memories that came up for you, and shifting the idea of, I've never looked at this before, to, it wasn't ready. It wasn't right before. You weren't ready to see it again. You weren't right. ready to see it with the eyes that you have now. You are infinitely more powerful than you were even 2 days ago, because you've learned something in the last 2 days, so that it was time to come up now, if that makes sense. And even seeing where, instead of looking at it as I handed my power away, you know, I gave my power away, I handed myself over to, or I sacrificed myself, or I settled, or any of those things. Instead, like, can you find where, man, that was just you being a lover. That was just you having a really beautiful, delicious, like gushy, drippy heart that wants to love. And there's nothing wrong with that. And you know more things now. And so it's like, can you, even in the stories you tell about the things that were painful, can you change the story about like your relationship with it, if that makes sense? That's yes. one of the really like the most powerful places to start.
That's so good. And even the idea, Heather, of like, to feel pain is bad, and like I need to get rid of the pain that I feel.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, that's something that I think the feminine has the ability to live in. Like, we can live in all of the emotions of every experience we've ever had, Whereas men are kind of more compartmental, you know, they box things up and that's how they are. But we're kind of more of that flow, that water, that spaghetti, I like to say, where every noodle touches every noodle, you know, like, and that's okay. Yeah. You know, like it's okay for us to feel. That doesn't mean that you haven't healed it or that you haven't moved on, right? Like that's something I've had to like really sit with and go, it's okay for me to look back. Of course, I'm looking back with different eyes or different perspective, like what you said, like the story maybe has changed since then, since living that, where I was like, oh, like I just like so mad, or like I feel so hurt, so rejected, where it's now I'm like, oh, but I understand, you know, like he was coming probably from this place. Since I knew him intimately and I knew his wounds intimately, I now can see that that was probably just too much. It was too much too soon, you know, or he wasn't there yet. It doesn't
have to be about like excusing him, although that's beautiful too, right? Like that's compassionate and lovely, but it's just, we bump up against each other as humans, you know, right. And we sometimes are meant to. Sometimes we're meant to have, like I said, I kind of love that we started this conversation this way. It's like, I don't regret I spent 12 years with my ex-husband. We weren't married for that whole time, but I was with him from 19 to 31. It was a long ass time and very like formative, you know, like very formative for me. I could look at that. In fact, there was a slight, like a split second back then where I was like, I gave him my best years. I was pissed about it. I was pissed. And I got nothing except for trauma. Right. But I'm like, there's a different perspective we can take in that. Like that I don't know. Like, I don't look at that as a mistake. Mm-hmm. I don't look at that as a mistake. So it's less about him. It's more about me. Like it's mine, right. Like mine to kind of go, I chose that. And even if I didn't choose the form of that relationship, if I didn't choose the, like the pain of it and the trauma of it, so I have thoughts about that. It's okay. Like, it's okay that I had the experience. It's okay that my heart just wanted to love this person. And I tried really hard to, and I tried really hard to make it work. And that's okay. Like there's nothing wrong with me or weak about me that I did that, if that makes sense.
That's so good.
The other thing is, like, I just wanted to speak to this really fast too. It's like, I believe men have the same, like we all have feminine and masculine in us.
Yes.
That even the parts of them that have been conditioned to be much more like compartmentalized and things like that, like we have that too. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, so the feminine's asking to come home and alive in them as well, in a different form, obviously, in a different ratio, if you will. But, we all are kind of being invited to, like, just to come home to the truth that all of our feelings are sacred, that none of them are wrong, and that we are all just kind of having experiences here that we get to find our, I always use this metaphor in my mystery schools, which is that there's this parable of the donkey in the well. And it's so powerful. I feel like, I don't know where it comes from. Actually, I should probably look this up, but I heard it a long time ago. It's some ancient parable of some sort. But basically a donkey falls into an empty well, and the townspeople are like, the village people are like trying their best to get it out, like hoist it up, like trying all the things they can to get this donkey out. And it's like days and days and days, and it's getting more and more desperate, and the donkey's getting louder and louder and more in pain. And they're all like, just kind of like, okay, well, let's put it out of its misery at least, like let's bury. So they start dumping soil, like dirt, into the well to just bury it. But instead of burying the donkey, it actually starts like tamping down every bucket full of soil that they throw in there and stepping up onto it. So ultimately, like, the idea being that, like, even, I hope, can I swear on your podcast?
Yes, absolutely.
I'm like, all the things, the shit that we're thrown, whether it's on purpose or for a reason or not, or like destined or not, or we chose it or not, it's like we can find a way to let it be something that we step up onto, if that makes sense. Ooh. It's our job to find that. And so it almost doesn't even matter. I know this isn't even what we're talking about right now, but it almost doesn't even matter if it was like on purpose or not, or if it was something we chose or not, if it was something that was just kind of like done to us, or, you know, like there are all kinds of arguments that we choose everything that we experience. It doesn't matter, to be perfectly honest. It just matters what we do with it.
It's our response. Yeah. Our reaction is what matters. Cause I think that's true. Like even in, you know, we get into like reincarnation and past life and karma and all this stuff. Right. But it's like, at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you reincarnate after this, it doesn't matter if it's a karma thing or if it's a past life thing or if it's a current life thing, it really ultimately doesn't matter. It's just, what do you want to do with this? How do you want to position yourself? Mm-hmm. What are you doing with it now?
Yeah.
And I think that's the case with everything that is coming up, or if something like what I had of like a flashback and just remembering how much that hurt me. And I was thinking, gosh, have I dived into that at all? Like, do I need to, is there any area of healing that I need to do around that? I'm sure that will come up in a future relationship where I'll be like, do you want to go see my family? You know, and I'll have this like little like, please say yes and please do it too. You know, like there might be that feeling, right? But like that's part of my experience too, being in another relationship. And that's only natural that we would have things come up in relationship. It's like the greatest catalyst, right? It's the greatest thing. But I think what's important is our response. Like I know that that's not a place that I want to come from of mistrust with somebody, right? Or anticipating them failing, you know, me, or, and what would that be even, but you know what I mean? Like that they would do me wrong or they would hurt me, and anticipating the hurt, anticipating the rejection, anticipating the wrongdoing, you know, in a relationship that should be safe and trusting. And so like, I know that going into my future relationship, but I oftentimes kind of reflect and go back and go, do I need to heal that so that that doesn't hinder me in the future? And maybe that's a wrong mindset. What do you think about that?
I think it's just that, you know, you are in the process of healing. And I think that's the, again, like that's the thing that I always try so hard to have us like shift away from, this idea that you're ever going to be done. Cause it's just, it's a part of you, you know, like there it's going to be a part of you for the rest of your life. It's just going to show up in different ways. It's going to be present in different ways. And I don't mean that to sound discouraging, because you just feeling it. And I'm not intending to minimize this either. Like, there might be some really, really deep things that are, you know, like really hard to feel about our past pains. I believe that because you felt it and had this come up for you today, you are actually much more like that much more ready to kind of feel it and see it and be with it a bit differently. It might in 10 years be, it might come up again where, cause you're in a different place and you're in a even more ready and more power of your own, like power and remembrance, that you can see it and meet it in a different way again. I have that happen with my ex all the time. And with, I mean, all kinds of other things in my past where suddenly what was so painful, it's not that it erases the pain of it or minimizes it in any way. It's just that suddenly a light clicks on and goes, oh, I see it from a different perspective now and from different eyes now. And it just changes. So I don't think that you need to kind of like wait until you're healed. I mean, I think we're always in the process of it. I think that we're always, like I said, kind of finding new treasure. And that treasure typically is like more beautiful and places where we get to find more of the places that we've kind of like shoved off into shadow, if that makes sense.
Yes.
There was something else I was going to say about that. And I so agree with you, because another thing that I really deeply believe in is it can be really powerful and exciting and meaningful and insightful and full of information to do kind of like past life stuff and to like look in those places. And, but I find what is even more, so I'm not knocking it, nor am I saying not to do it. It's just what I find is it always comes back to here and now anyway.
Right.
And like, what are you like your choice and your free will now and your power of choosing now, where when we simply focus on how do I feel right now? How do I want to feel right now? How can I express that? Or how can I be in dialogue with that or be in dialogue with somebody else around that? That's when, so like, just to use your example of this, your future partner, like, you know, I could be something so simple, like I carry some really deep pain around an ex in the past who never thought it was important or never thought my family was important enough to spend time with. And that was really, really hurtful. And I don't want to experience that again. And I'm nervous. Like, I'm afraid. Like, I'm scared of even asking you to come to my family because I'm afraid of getting turned down. And just like opening, right? Like,
yeah,
letting our heart kind of speak that truth to somebody to see how they meet us in it. Cause that's going to tell you so much more about who this person is, yep, even than if they decide to come with you to your family. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
like that's such a form of healing. Cause you're kind of like bringing this pain out into the open between the two of you and allowing you both to kind of go, can we hold this together and see how he or she holds this with you? Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I think just even what you said, like, as you were saying it, I was like, gosh, this feels so warm and this feels so loving. And this feels like an invitation, not a wall.
Yeah.
You know, just in the way that you said it and in how it felt to hear it as you were saying it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of what I've struggled with is how I'm saying something. You know, I'm a volcano. I'm an emotional volcano. I typically stuff until I explode, till I can't keep it in anymore. And then I'm like, oh my God, like you hurt me, you know, like this hurts. Like I can't do this anymore. Like, you know, then it's like that I'm at my end, right? Versus being open and like and bringing people into that space of like this hurt, you know, like, or this hurts before or after or during or now, you know, whatever it is. And like I definitely have struggled in having those types of conversations ahead of time, just being open and vulnerable. It's kind of scary to do that, but
it is. Totally. But again, this is like the conditioning, right? Where we've separated ourselves from those subtle realms of our emotions and our sensations and our intuition, where we're like, meh, that's not important. Or that's not, it's too uncomfortable to be with that. Or it's too uncomfortable to be with this vulnerability. Or it's too uncomfortable to be with this level of openness or this feeling or the fear of a feeling even. And so then we just like shove it. And then it like, exactly. We separate ourselves from all of that is information. All of that's just energy moving through us. And we're like, I don't want to look at that. I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to be with that right now. And then we wonder why we can't like be with other experiences. Like they're so painful or they're so hard to be with, or we're so afraid of them. Where kind of the goal, right? And I know like there's no end goal, there's no end destination, but if we were to say there was kind of like an invitation into a way of being, it's like, can we be in movement with all parts of ourselves and be in dialogue with all parts of ourselves and be willing to be in dialogue with others about the parts of ourselves without making it their, you know, not also wanting to be like a flamethrower and like making everybody like, this is all your fault. I feel this way. And like all of that. But it, you're exactly right. There's like a warmth where it's kind of just saying like, I'm in process. I got stuff. And I am inviting you to kind of be you in process and us in process at the same time. And then we just all get to kind of move together, you know, and find our way together and be conscious together and like get creative together. And like, that's the whole gist of co-creation is that we're kind of willing to see what's here and what's present and move together with it, if that makes sense, in partnership.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know what what's also coming up too, Heather, is that I think why I have struggled also with those conversations or I've avoided those conversations is because I felt like I'm not just sharing my burden, I'm burdening you and I'm stirring the pot and I'm causing drama or conflict. And maybe that's because of who I was with, that I kind of just anticipated that if I share this, this is going to upset him. Right. And then we're going to get into an argument about it. And then it's just like, and why did I even bring that up? You know what I mean? Like, and I don't know if anyone else can relate to that that's listening,
everyone,
but like,
probably.
Yeah, but that's one reason. Cause I'm so like, let's vibe. Let's like chill. Like let's have happy energy. But like, sometimes you have to get uncomfortable and sometimes you have to,
right?
Yeah. Sometimes you have to fight it out too, because that's actually really juicy and good. And, you know, and the makeup can be great too, if there's any makeup needed. But I think that's been my thing is like, I can hold space for anybody. Anybody can approach me with anything. But if I'm going to go to somebody and share something that is painful, vulnerable, risky, I feel like I'm just churning. And then I'm burdening someone and putting my, you know, my stuff on them. And I'm just like afraid of that, of like, I don't want someone to think that I'm accusing them. I don't want them to feel like I don't trust them, because I do. I just have this, you know. So I don't know. I don't know how to get out of that necessarily.
It's so normal. And I think, I don't honestly don't feel like anybody really teaches us how to talk to each other in this life. Like, I don't think that there, we would be so well served if there was if there were wisdom teachings around really how to speak to one another in a way that's caring and kind, even when it's in conflict.
Right.
I mean, world problem solved. You know what I'm saying? Right. In so many different ways, but not to be flippant about that, but
it would solve a lot of problems, because I think we learn that by observing, right? Like, I've learned how my parents have chatted, you know, and communicated, even fought. A lot of times they would go into the bedroom and close the door and have it out with each other. So I never really got to see too much, but I think I've also seen them avoid certain topics because they didn't want to be uncomfortable, or they didn't want to burden the person. The person's already going through enough. Why burden them further? And I think I've learned that it's very much of a fawn response, right? Where it's like, I'm just gonna morph into what this is, what I need to be for this, instead of being who I am.
And you know, one of the ways that I found that we can avoid, I mean, just choice, word choice can be so powerful in expressing something, even when it's like pain or anger or anything like that. It can be so powerful in how it's received.
Yes.
That it doesn't, you know, it's one of the things I talk about in mystery schools too, is like, when we create from wound, we beget more wound, right? It creates more wound, and vice versa. Kind of, this is the idea of the spiral too, which is like, you know, it's infinite. So when we're creating with kind of open and expansive energetics, then we're tend to open and expand up the spiral, if that makes sense.
Right.
And vice versa. And so even word choice, like when we're having conversations with people and where we're approaching a conversation from, like, am I trying to punish you, hurt you in return because you've hurt me? Am I trying to make you wrong? Am I trying to, you know, you name it, any of the other kind of like combative type of intentions? Or am I really just trying to connect? Am I trying to share my heart? And am I trying to feel heard? Am I trying to, do you know what I'm saying? And so word choice can be really powerful. Also, how fully we can be with our own emotions, even the really painful ones. And that doesn't mean we don't need anyone ever. It just means that we're also, as like, while we're also like, while we're feeling really intense things, we're also, we have like another foot in self-sourcing, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Another foot into, this fucking hurts, but I can be with that. Like, ultimately I know that this is mine to kind of process, and I really need someone to lean on right now, or I would love to feel held right now, or I want to feel heard, or I want to ask for something that I need right now. And do you know what I'm saying? And so many things. And so this is all like emotional mastery and communication style and so many things that can help, you know, that, and because it's always a both and, we're never going to get to a place where we're perfectly, totally, completely healed. So there's always going to be some wobble too, you know, like, I don't think any of us are ever going to approach, like, come into relationship where there's never funk, or there's never a wobble, or there's never a place where I'm not holding myself very well right now and I lash out, or I'm the volcano or whatever. Like, I love that term, but do you know what I'm saying? And so it's also kind of having some grace, and hopefully we're not both in the wobble at the same time, but you know, sometimes that happens too.
Even but if you are, you wobble together.
Yeah. It gets easier and easier and easier. And we get, we learn each other's languages more and more and more. But it really does take some willingness to do some like emotional mastery work on your own and communication style work on your own to kind of, I really feel and teach this, that the feminine sets the tone. And I don't mean that about women, but the feminine, like the feeling and the energy we hold and the intention and the how our body is and like what's going on and how we're holding ourselves in that way and how what our yes. relationship is with our emotions and our body, that sets the tone for everything else that occurs. Yes.
Yeah. That's so good. And I think where I wanted to go as well is feminine remembrance. When we tap into stuff, it's funny and it's cool how different things come up, right? In the remembrance. And it's like, you can have dreams, you can have intuitive hits.
Oh, it's so rich. There's so much. There's so, so much to find and receive and retrieve and remember. And I love that. One of my favorite things though, about that kind of work, whether it's, do a lot of dream work here. We do a lot of shamanic journeying work, you know, guided meditations, things like that, is it's something I call felt knowing, which is we so often just want to like really nail it down and have like the, what did that mean? And what is it telling me? And right. like, what's the message and all of that stuff. But there is so my beliefs and my experience around this is that there is so much information that came through in that dream for you that you may not ever distill into linear words and understanding, that there is a remembrance that gets to come online within you that is felt. And we don't know how that's going to show up in the future. We don't know if that's going to kind of pop into into some sort of like, you know, I mean, I've had so many things like this in shamanic journey where I have been, you know, met one of my guides or been activated in a certain way or retrieved something. And it was really powerful. And I felt it so deeply. And then, you know, only to have it later be, you know, come up in another meditation or come up when I'm like in my own kind of embodied power, because like, as I'm doing something else, like we just don't know how it's not a very eloquent way of saying this, but we just don't know how this is filling us and feeding us and sourcing us and impacting our ability to move through this world in our deepest power. And we don't need to necessarily. It's beautiful to do the work of exploring. And so I'm a big fan of like acknowledging it, right? Acknowledging this feels either like past life or ancestral. In either way, it's coming to me for a reason. And this is how I felt in seeing it myself. This is how I feel in retrieving it now as the person I am. This is how I'm gonna seek to honor it if there's something that you can find to honor it. Or if it's like a different kind of dream, like that's you know, more symbolic, like how can you, what meanings can you find in there when you like do some intuitive Googling, as I call it, and find some meanings or message in there, how can you honor that? So it's this really beautiful both and where we get to, and all of the feminine is all about the both and. So I say this all the time, but it's basically like, can you allow yourself to not need to know while you also receive a message and honor it at the same time, if that makes
sense.
But knowing that there's a really, like knowing and trusting that something unseen is happening, that something that is undefinable and ineffable is happening, that you have been given a gift through that exchange, through that vision, through that dream, through that experience, and what that is fully is going to unfold over time, if that makes sense.
Yes. And I think that's something that I and I know probably a lot of women are getting more comfortable with, is like, I don't have to have a story. I don't have to have a reason. I can find purpose in just even, I experienced this. Mm-hmm. Like that has purpose in it. I just experienced it. I don't have a reason why. I don't know what it was from or originated. I don't know if it does or doesn't, you know, relate directly to me or not, you know, but either way, like, I just love like the goddess energy, which is something that you do and you work around. And I love that because I feel like goddess just encompasses so much. It's like, it's empowering, it's sensual, it's sexual, it's feminine, it's divine, it's sovereign. There's just, it's so expansive when we talk about goddess, you know, goddess just feels huge, you know, and big. And I love that. Like it gets me.
She's huge. She's in like, ineffable. She's unknowable in her entirety. She is
even whole. Mysterious, right?
Yes.
And there's this mystery of the unknowing. Yeah.
And she's expansive and she's like bigger than you can comprehend, like all of the things. And that's what's so glorious about her. And that's exactly what we are coming back into. And I love how this is all like, and it tends to happen on all of my coaching calls too, like my mastermind calls, where different questions are coming in, but they're all that they, we all end up like weaving this beautiful thread through the entire thing. And it feels like ours today is like, can we show up in this kind of deep, like, space of both the unknown and not needing to know, but also wholeness at the same time, and just move with what's here. And,
yes,
and it just feels like it's threading through like everything that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love this. This is so gorgeous. Yeah.
The presence. I think that's one thing from this conversation that I'm getting really strong coming from you, and everything that you have shared, is the power of presence, the power of being present with who you are right now, not needing to be anything else. You are whole and complete just as you are, even with the pain, even with trauma, even with whatever you think needs to be fixed. You're perfect. You're a goddess. You're divine. You know, you are who you are. You know, there needs to be no definers, you know, like you are simply you, and you can be present in all of it, in the process and in the journey. And it's okay to, it's cool to reference the past. It's cool to think of the future. But what we have right now is the goddess that you are, and that you are becoming, even just in this conversation, in these 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 45 minutes, we're transitioning, we're transforming, we're healing, we're shifting, you know, we're growing, we're learning, we're expanding. It's just, it's always a process, but just being present with who we are is powerful, and is really kind of all we need, is from what I gather from what you've shared, is like, this is what we need. To just be present. Something comes up, cool. Like, be with it. Just be with
it. Yeah, it's exactly that. And, because it's always the both and. Like, I know, it's like my clients, I'm like, you're going to get sick of me saying this, but it's always both and. It's like, it is, you are whole and sovereign and perfect and in, like everything right now and expansive. And there's always more. There's always more. Like, and so this is why I think that the spiral is such a powerful, because it's literally always expanding infinitely out one end, and it's contracting infinitely down the other. And like, can we, and we're always moving. So can we know that we're whole and sovereign and full and like powerful and beautiful and all the things right now? And can we also be okay with the fact that we always want to kind of like you said, kind of like seek the expansive and seek deeper and seek more opening and seek more connection and seek more beauty and seek more, do you know what I'm saying? Instead of like, just watch for the places where, because our ego will, especially in our conditioning, will try to find the stories that want to shut us down, or it will want to find the reasons why we can't, whatever it is, or we want to find the reasons to judge where we are or who we are or what's happened or things like that. So, and this is all so nuanced and it's so complex, but my spiritual awakening actually happened through a dream as well. And we just don't know where they're going to go. I had the dream where a man I now call my cosmic teacher, he's like one of my primary guides who speaks to me from beyond the veil and like teaches me, actually teaches me quite a lot of what I teach. Approached me in an ancient Egyptian temple. And as far as I know, I don't have any lineage in Egyptian, but it's where we were. And he offered to be my teacher. And I said yes in the dream. And he like guided me deeper into the temple and into this sacred room that felt like kind of a library, and showed me some sacred books and things like that, and started teaching me there, introduced me to some of my other kind of guides or teachers in that space. And then I woke up and I was just like, neat dream. And it wasn't until a couple months later where things started happening in my waking life that would kept pointing back to the dream, like themes or messages or symbols or words, like all these things. And I was like, what is happening right now? And then it just kind of started unfolding from there. But it was like my cosmic teacher was actually starting to tap me on the shoulder in my waking life. And it took me a little while to go, wait a minute, is this what's actually happening right now? So they can unfold in the most incredible ways. And it's like, you don't have to know in the moment. You don't have to know right after what it's supposed to be, but can you, it's like planting seeds in your garden. Can you nurture it and just like trust that it's growing and that it's going to become what it wants to become and what it's meant to become? And as long as you kind of aren't like, I don't need to pay attention to any of those things, but also not gripping to going, what does it mean? Like it will grow, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's almost like holding on to the mysteries, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like being a space for mystery to exist. Yeah. I love, like, whenever I've heard, like, she's a woman, you know, of secrets, you know, or full of secrets. Like, I've kind of always, like, loved that, where it's like, she has many secrets, you know, that are yet untold, you know, like, have yet to be told, or, you know, like, and she holds space for them within herself, within her heart. And that's totally fine. It's totally cool. But there's always been this thing for me where I'm like, I want to be a woman of mystery, you know? I want to have secrets that, like, unfold over time, that someone's like, ooh, a treasure.
We are, because she does, right?
So yeah.
When we become the vessel for the mystery, that's when we're in our co-creative power with invisible realms, the unseen, the possibility realms, the quantum realms, like whatever it is that you want to, with the universe, that's when we really are in our co-creative power. But we have to be willing to, like, be this vessel and the source of the mystery ourselves, and, like, to not make that wrong. And that's really hard for us in our conditioning sometimes, because there's a,
yes,
I need to know what it means. I need to know where I'm going. I need to know what the plan is. I need to have control. I need to, like, all the other things. So yeah, we get to just, this is really at the core of feminine remembrance, is kind of how to be the vessel for your destiny, how to be the vessel for co-creative energy, how to be the vessel for creation itself, how to be the vessel for, you know, possibility.
Mm-hmm. And why would we want just one destination?
Right.
Right.
It's not real. It's not even a real thing.
I want so many adventures, mm-hmm. you know, so many things of mystery that I hold space for and then experience, or have it come in a way that I didn't expect. I mean, that's what life is about. Why do we have to have one purpose, one destiny? Mm-hmm. Why can't it be multiple in one, you know? Yeah,
it is, absolutely. It's so funny. Yeah. I talk about this a lot too, which is, like, we're funny little creatures. We actually, when you get to the bottom of all of the stuff that we tend to cling to the most, control, my plans, you know, like all of the things that we're like, I just want to know the answer. I want to have this framework that I can repeat over and over again and know that I'm doing it right. Like, I want it, all this stuff. It's actually when you dig down underneath all of those impulses enough, what's actually happening is that we're desiring to be a machine. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing. We have this strange conditioned response to kind of actually desire to be machine, because we just, mm-hmm. we want things to make sense, and we want them to be orderly, and we want them to be like, I know that I'm getting this right, which is productionism. It's this template of, like,
yes,
that's what machines do. It's, you're either doing it right or it's wrong. Do you know what I'm saying? And that's just not how any of this works. It's so much more of the mystery than we have ever been taught to believe. And it's like coming into that remembrance that that's not scary, and it's not wrong, and you're not, like, not lost, and you're not gonna get lost. It's really putting you back into the seat of your own ancient power that allows you to walk the path of mystery, which is the path that we really truly from our soul level are craving. It's our wounded self that craves that, like, machine, just give me the answer so I can live into it. And no, we don't,
because that's predictable,
right? Exactly.
Yeah, that's not, like, I don't know in that form means failure,
right?
You fail because you don't know,
right? Or but even like, I just want to feel good all the time.
That's
not real. It's not real.
No.
Yeah,
like, I don't know can actually be really exciting. Instead of saying, like, I don't know, it can be, I don't know. You know, like, I'm really excited. I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm really looking forward to it. Like, this is where the adventure begins. It's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, I read a ton of fantasy fiction. It's like one of my guilty little pleasures that I keep hidden.
Oh, we need to talk.
Yes.
I might need some more recommendations, because I...
Yeah. I even started writing my own book, because I love it so much. And even that is like, yeah, it's like been this whole, like, creative pursuit of, like, I don't know what's going to happen. You know, even as I'm writing the book, it's in such a flow state that even writing it was like reading a book, because it was like, I don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to happen, but something's going to happen, you know, and like, this is going to be so cool. And I've often reflected and been like, gosh, this is like, when I look back on my life and I see how my life unfolded, I remember the moments where I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm breaking up with somebody that I've been with for 5 years, that I know intimately, that has loved me like well, like has never betrayed me. Like, and I'm leaving this, and I'm also leaving my home. I'm leaving my state. I'm going somewhere I've never been. And I don't even have a reason, like a solid reason why. Like, there's not like, you know, like I just know I feel like I'm supposed to do this. And so I'm trusting that. But looking up at the stars, like, please guide me, God, you know, because like I have no idea what I'm doing. And I don't know how to answer people when they're like, why Colorado? You know, I don't have an answer.
Yeah.
And even 2 years later, I'm like, I can't really give you a reason, like a solid reason why, except for just I was called and I sat on it for a year, and there was like no doubt that like constant Colorado content through Instagram or like, or just, you know, Google is like, why is Google doing like a mountain picture? They change all right. the time. Why is it a mountain picture? And all of that. So it's, you know, it's like, as we're guided, it's fun to look at that and see back like the times that you didn't know where you were headed. Mm-hmm. And yet look how it happened. You know, it was bumpy, it was hilly, there was pain, there was joy, there was like all the things, right? But like, look where you are now, and look where you're, you know, where the possibilities are that you're gonna end up is like so exciting. And it's in that mystery that we really learn to trust us, trust what you feel, trust the goddess within, you know, trust it, because it's an adventure. It's exciting. You don't need to know. You don't need to be a robot.
Yeah,
you can just live.
Nothing new happens until we don't know, you know, like there's no new possibility can come in until we don't know. Yeah.
Ooh, can you say that again? Just like that first bit. That was so good.
Nothing new comes in until we don't know. It's true though. Like I actually love, I said this recently too, that that's like, I kind of love, not that it feels comfortable, but I kind of love the idea of us kind of getting lost every now and again, because that tends to be this really beautiful fertile ground for discovery and for finding something new, for creating the space for, we would never question if we just knew the answer all the time, if we just had things sorted and we were like, nothing needs to change and I feel complete and I'm done. Like, what would the point be?
Right.
You know? So nothing new would come in. I also love what you said, because you were just following the mystery when you, it's one of my favorite things to hear when women enter into Golden Goddess, is they're like, I don't entirely know what I'm signing up for. And I don't even know why I'm being called here. I just know that I just know there's something here for me. I just know that I am. I think that I'm just supposed to be here. And they jump and they let themselves come in. And I'm like, this is perfect, because you're actually listening and you're actually stepping into the mystery, even just in the process of joining the space, if that makes sense. It is one of my favorite things to hear of all time.
Because it's at the core of femininity is the mystery.
Mm. Beautiful.
So good. Heather, where can people find you and connect with you?
Yeah. Probably easiest is either my Instagram, which is I am Heather Allison. Oh, yes, I am Heather Allison. Like, was it? Or my website, which is heather-allison.com. And there's a wealth of information on my website, and there's all kinds of things for women to explore here. And I am deeply in service of there being something for every level of investment, every level of readiness, every place that you are in your life. Some of the guidance that I received years ago when I first started doing this work was that this work is to be in the hands of as many women as I can possibly get it into. So there's something for you. If there's something that vibrates for you here, I can just help you find what that is.
Yeah, that's awesome. I love everything you do. You even have oracle cards, candles, crystals. You have it all. You have such a resource on your website, between courses and workshops. They can work with you one-on-one. The sanctuary. Oh, that's awesome. What an awesome place to step in and to honor who you are with others. And so amazing. Thank you, Heather, for this conversation. This was so beautiful and so wonderful. And I know it's nourishing to everyone who's listening. So thank you for the conversation.
Much.